Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, May 9th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Diversity Sanctuary, Solidarity and Commitment to Independent Voices on the Airwaves. That's what it's all about, and that is what you just made happen with your support for KBOO. And it's a continuing process. If you feel that you missed out on the membership drive, you didn't. It's on right now. Go to that website and kboo.fm. Push the button. Our button's the biggest button, and we've got a bigger button than Trump and Kim Jong-un or anybody else out there. Show us your buttons. Ours is better. Okay, weather. For today's showers, likely early on, and then a high of around 64 later. For tonight, chance of showers, and then lows around 53 tomorrow. Again, that hovering possibility. Highs around 61, and for tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 50. Seems like, yes, cue that tune. Yesterday, seems like only yesterday, we had a deal with Iran guaranteed to halt Iran's nuclear program. All right, it was only yesterday. And yesterday, Michael Avenatti, now my favorite attorney, that Stormy Daniels attorney, described payments by AT&T in a report alleging that a company owned by Russian oligarch Viktor Vekselberg, AT&T, and other corporations had made payments to essential consultants. The firm tied, of course, to Michael Cohen. Whoa, goes around and around and stops right here. We've got a guest today, Robert Naiman with Just Foreign Policy, is joining us from an inconvenient location to talk a bit about this the Iran eruption, which, yes, we knew it was a possibility, but we felt it was such an outrageous possibility that it couldn't happen. And of course, it did, because Trump cares about himself first and what others think about him, and his idea of what others think about him, other nations and other leaders, is distorted through what seems to be a creeping madness bears no relationship to the reality that the rest of us share. He probably thinks that he's shown the whole world what a tough guy he is and what a brilliant mind for figuring it all out. Well, basically, he gets fed lies and lines by the Mossad, by the Israeli Secret Service. And as for the rest, he takes delight in goading and, teasing the beast constantly, which he thinks destabilizes others and gives him an advantage. It's exactly the opposite. It's becoming easier and easier to figure out what this man thinks. He apparently also wants to destroy everything that President Obama created. So those were his targets. And the way he goes about hitting those targets is what the news, the 24-hour media circus, is all about right now. Trump, however, has listened. This is, of course, my opinion. And I want to be very honest with listeners, because I appreciate you listening, that this is right now my opinion. I'm merely highlighting some, as they say, facts on the ground. But the rest is my conclusions and deductions from what the news presents, what washes over the transom every 24 hours. So that said, it would seem to me that despite what the media has rabid attention to every nuance of this entire episode, Trump has less and less real advantage in the real world. He has less and less, he's less and less important all the time. I believe that European nations for a while now have seen the possibility that Trump would pull this business coming, and they have made contingency plans which go immediately into effect. Basically, Trump has been sidelined. Same goes for trade. He is sidelined. The rest of the world will go on. China is the emergent, and I don't say emerging, I mean emergent, trade superpower right now, because while the U.S. has been the dull fat cop on the corner eating a donut and blowing the resources of the United States out the window, China has been going around the rest of the world setting up trade deals and agreement and setting down roots in countries all around the world which enable it to access the resources of those nations which China needs to develop. And they have some big plans for the future. They basically, when they say they're going to do something, they go do it. That's the advantage of being government of the kind that China has, is you simply say, here's what we're going to do, people, and the people say, here's what we're doing, and then they get on it. Here, the United States, of course, we have all kinds of dealings, you know, handshakes happen, and money is promised, money floats nebulously, and then that lands exactly on target. So whether good, bad, take the Buddhist point of view, it just is, huh? So we had some results of elections recently. Yes, we did. What's interesting, there's a lot of things that are interesting about it. West Virginia, the Senate race, Patrick Morrissey, the state's attorney general, won the Republican U.S. Senate nomination. As expected, the incumbent Joe Manchin was re-nominated on the Democratic side, although it's roughly 70-30% victory. It seems to some to be weak. We don't even want to mention Blankenship. Ohio Senate race Jim Renacci won the Republican nomination. Ohio Governor Republican Attorney General Mike DeWine and Democrat Richard Cordray, the former head of, all these people that we said, oh my God, it can't be that. And now it's like, yes, thank God, you know, because it could have been so much worse. Richard Cordray, the former head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, won their respective party nominations. And Indiana Senate former state representative Mike Brown defeated two sitting congressmen for the Republican nomination. In North Carolina, the 9th Congressional District third-term incumbent Republican Robert Pettenger lost to Reverend Mark Harris. Whew, that's that. Moving right along, under the radar, and some of these things that happen under the radar are far more important in the end than this rather flash in the pan. Donald Trump, his big announcement, and of course he staged it just the way any game show host would stage it. He kept up tension, the suspense, and he made this big announcement. The whole world collapsed on its back. Well, but the European nations have got it. They've got it handled. if I were you, I wouldn't worry too much about it. So while all of this goes on, the There was a farm bill, remember? Some of the Republican hardliners are warming up to this farm bill because of the massive cuts it makes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's almost as if, you know, they really do hate the poor. They do want to see poor people die. That's what it looks like. Unless I'm missing something here, they do seem to enjoy the fact that they're going to cut out the nutrition program. That's food stamps, y'all. Not so fast, say some conservative groups, because making people go hungry, well, you know, it's just bad at election time. Then there's a whole lot of excitement around the farm bills, I say some. Maybe, but Dan Holler, vice president of Heritage Action, said just last week at a briefing for reporters that the pile-on began on Tuesday at the briefing by the Heritage Foundation. The group's political arm formally came out against the bill and Wednesday joined a dozen other right-leaning free market organizations. They got together and wrote to Congress to denounce the legislation. And because already, I mean, like, with the tariffs and Trump's tiny teapot tariffs, end game. We already have farmers who are looking around and wondering where to turn next, because they voted for Trump. They're usually a very conservative voting bloc, and they seem to have been stabbed in the back at every turn. They can't even take a seat and turn fast enough to catch up with the backstabbers. And again, much of this, what conservatives think is their clever maneuvering and their slick operator actions really have ended in tripping them up, weakening the economy, and in general is pissing off their voters. So the farm bill is still floating around out there. The Koch brothers and Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Partners also wrote a letter to Congress, said that the bill moves the system further away from free market principles. Yikes! That's not what the administration wants to hear. And but the most exciting thing really is this next move. Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' attorney, has turned out to be the new Greg Palast. He's come up with some stunners. For example, that Michael Cohen, the embattled former Trump attorney and fixer, accepted $500,000 from the firm tied to Russian oligarchs. Robert Mueller is reportedly interviewed the Russian oligarchs, same guy, about the payments to Trump's lawyer. And this guy, Viktor Kesselberg, reportedly is the guy behind the payments to Michael Cohen. Wow, that is far more interesting and potentially more of a deal killer than anything else we've heard about. And this has been, we have not had, obviously, Robert Newman on. We'll try again tomorrow to get his voice up on the air. But this has been Erica Skadia for Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. We've got engineers in there. Engineers, by all means, speak up, because I don't have a name down here. But my thanks always go out to people who are on the board making this happen. Derek Crooks is IM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.